privilege to stand behind the sacred guests of the pulpit.
It's weird.
You know, God has called many men and women to preach the gospel. And honestly, that is probably the highest calling ever, to preach the gospel, because you see, what you say affects many, many people. And I count it very sacred, and I try to do the best job I can to feed you the word, the truth of the gospel, and what God wants us to know and understand in his word. Let's make our declaration before you. Say, this is life. I will honor it today, as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to turn, if you would, to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. Are y'all a little chilly or no? Yes. Feels good to me, but I just want to make sure. You know, amen. 2 Kings chapter 5. Kings chapter 5 talks about probably a very familiar passage, but I want to bring out a few points in this, talking about Naaman. Now let's read the first few verses, and then we'll come back and read the latter parts of it. Let's start with 2 Kings chapter 5, starting with verse 1. It says, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would recover from his leprosy. And one went in and told his lord, saying, thus and thus says the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go to go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto you, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, and am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man does send unto me to recover a man of leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeks a quarrel against me. Now, I'm going to stop there, and we're going to get to the latter part after. Here we see Naaman. Now, they talk about Naaman, and they say Naaman, and just in the first verse, you find out a lot about this man, Naaman. First, he is a captain of the host of the king of Syria. That means he had a very high ranking in the army. He had a high ranking. And God says this about him, that he was a great man. With his master, he was honorable, because by him the Lord, not just himself, but the Lord was with him, had given deliverance unto Syria. He was in the army of Syria, and God had given him deliverance of that enemy. And he was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Now, we often think, you know, God called this man, he was an honorable man, a good man, loved the Lord. But he had something within his body called leprosy. He was a leper. That reflects on us as even children of the living God. That even though God is in us, that we may have things in our hearts and lives that affect us. God called him a great man, a man that God was with. Just that says a lot about this man. Just that says that he sought God. That he sought God to help him, to be the mighty man that he was, to give him wisdom when to go into battle, when to take over certain areas. God was with this man. And as Christians of the living God, as we have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, that he lives in us, that just because he's in us and lives with us and he is with us does not mean that we won't have problems. That we won't have physical problems at times also. That we may have financial problems at times. Whatever the circumstances that come our way. A lot of times, and we know this, that God is in control of every situation in our lives. That the enemy, old Slewfoot, is not in control of our lives. We know that. We know that, and we've often said it because of Job, the scenario that happened. That God is in control of everything if we submit to him and to submit to his authority. And certain things may come at us because sometimes that's the only way God can get our attention. And that's the only way that God can keep our attention from relying upon self or other people and not so much relying upon him and what he can do. And so, you know, God doesn't put things upon people, evil things. No. He's a loving God. God doesn't put disease on people. That is untrue to the Word of God. But God will allow some things to happen because sometimes that's the only way that we will submit to his authority. And sometimes that's the only time that we will call out to God. And humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. But this man was a mighty man of God, namely. But he had something that affected his skin. He was a leper. And because of that, there were certain areas that he could not go in as lepers. And certain things he could not do. He was considered by the world, and that's a good lesson, considered by the world at that time as unclean, unsuitable to live with, if you want to say, normal people that didn't have it. And even the world will look at us as Christians and think that we're unsuitable. Or even sometimes we even look at ourselves because we know ourselves. We know what's in us sometimes. Most of the time. Sometimes we may not know everything because God knows everything. But sometimes we even look at our own selves on the inside and we think, Lord, I'm not worthy of you. I'm not worthy. Look at that, what I have done. Look what I have thought of. Look what I have said. Look how I acted in this situation and what I did. But I wonder, if God could write a chapter about your life, what would he write? And I know we first think, oh Lord, We don't want to be like David here, man, God didn't leave certain things out. But if God could write a chapter about your life, I bet you it wasn't the evil you just thought of would be in there. I bet you it wouldn't be. You might say, well, how do you know that? Because the scripture says that when we ask forgiveness of things, that he remembers it no more. Ooh, you should have shouted. Praise God. Thank God he doesn't remember it. He does not remember it. That's an amazing statement of the Word of God. Honestly, we almost can't fathom that thought. That he does not remember those things that we have asked forgiveness of. So if he wrote a chapter about your life, what would he put? Well, he did put in there the physical ailment of Naaman, that he was a leper. He could have left that out if he really wanted to. Remember, it's God's book. He can put what he wants in it. He can leave out what he wants to leave out, and he can put in what he wants to put in. But it's an amazing book. There's no other book like that book, because it's that book that was penned down by God. Penned down. And he wrote that he was a great man of valor. A great man, Naaman was. But if God could write or would write a chapter, what would he write? Would he say your name? Put your name, Joseph. That's my name. Put your name. And how would he start? A great woman or a great man of God. Mighty in valor. He or she loved me with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Brought up their children in the ways of God. Sought me with everything within them. Dyed their hair once a month. Cross the line through that one. Use hairspray to keep it straight. That's okay. But what would he write? And I'm telling you, I know with David he wrote some things that maybe, but there was a reason for us to look a little better. But I'm telling you, that chapter would be a great chapter in your life. Because you see, we don't see ourselves the way God sees us.
See, he's the great commander.
We don't.
I think he gets touch of it.
And that's our dominant. We see ourselves lower. Now, sometimes you can get to a place where some people think they're higher than, and that's out of perspective too. But the way God sees us is as a mighty church for him that is preaching the gospel, the true gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that is touching the world, the cities, for the kingdom of God. But what does God see about him? And I'm telling you, after he would write it, after he said all that stuff, and he'd give it to you, and you'd probably say, well, who is this? And he'd have to say, that's you. Mighty man, mighty woman of God. Mighty in battle. Love me with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. What does God see? What does God see? Here we see Naaman, a leper. Now, a leper was something that is basically incurable at that time. Yes, it yet spread throughout.
Not too bad. But no, you just had to.
There were scabs upon the skin. There were pimples all over the skin. I mean, in different colors and just all kinds of stuff. And he knew that no one could bring healing to his body. But on one of his journeys, as he had conquered certain areas, there was a little girl that they brought in to help Naaman's wife with the household duties. And this little girl, which was a young teenager, knew the king of Israel, knew him. And she knew what Naaman was going through. Now you have to realize this. Here Naaman had taken over a certain area or country and had brought her in basically as a slave. Now it says that he took her and she helped his wife with duties, doing the things that needed to be done as a housewife, taking care of things. This young girl was ripped away from her family. Ripped away from her mother, her father, her siblings, family, her town, where she lived, her home, and brought into another man's home, not being familiar with anything at all. Coming to work and take care of things. Now, do you think maybe things might have tried to grow inside of her that wasn't good? You know, think about, and I know, you know, we've all lived quite a few years. And we've all gone through some great times here upon the earth, but also we've gone through some hard times. Some. And it's hard when injustice is done to you and I. It's hard. It's hard to keep our hearts right. It's hard, and it depends on who it is or what's going on or the situation. It's hard to keep peace in your heart and life. Think of what you went through and how you had to call upon the Lord for him to help you. And without his help, you would have been bitter, angry, mad. And a root of those things would have settled in your heart and you would have stopped God from moving like you wanted to move in your heart and life. But you look to him and God came in and healed those areas. Now, it may not have happened overnight. But every time something would creep up about that, you would call upon him and God, the God of peace, would come in and help you to forgive. Might say, Pastor, I'm still in that state. That's all right. At least you're looking to him, the one that can forgive. Because always remember, how do you think Jesus felt? Having to die a death, he died for our sake. Being 100% man and 100% God, he felt every nail that went through him. He felt every fist that hit him. He felt every hair that was pulled upon his beard and his head. He felt it all. Just let your son or your daughter pull your hair and see how it feels. It hurts. If you can find something. Some have a little more than others, and that's okay. That's okay. Look, I see more hair pieces on the street. I'm telling you, all over the place. All over the place. It's like, oh my God, people are losing their hair all over. I didn't realize you could buy that much hair. But you can. You can. You can dye it. You can do all kinds of stuff. But this girl had to go through a hard time. And even through that hard time, she cared about the man that took her from her family. And brought her into another home. And she looks to his wife and says, I know a man that can bring you. And they go to him and they tell him. Now the scenario is, he didn't go to Naaman first. He went to the king of Israel first. It says he took, in today's money, you can read the commentary, about $3 million worth of stuff. He had his entourage of all the horsemen, the chariots, and everything. Everything. All that stuff. And he goes to the king. Now, you have to understand, back then, they would go to people with high, high authority. That was their custom. And they felt because they had that power of high authority, that they had the power of God upon their lives, and they could bring healing to them. Not that the king brought the healing, but he knew the God that could do it. And it says that he went with all his stuff ready to pay him out. And when he got there, the king, and you can read the scripture that we just read at the end, I think it's verse 7, he says, I can't do that. I cannot do that. I cannot bring healing to your body. I can't do it. Have you ever been desperate for a healing? You'll do just about anything, huh? Just to get that healing. I've talked to many people that have problems with their back. I mean, they will have surgery, they will do this, they will go through anything just to kind of relieve the pain somehow, some way. They want relief, which I can understand that. He wanted relief of this leprosy. But the man sends him away and says, I can't do it. I can't do it. Now look at this. Look at verse 8. As it was so, when Elijah, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, then he sent to the king, saying, wherefore have you rent your clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Look, Elijah hears about it and says to the king of Israel, I know basically you can't bring healing to him. You may not know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But he says, send him to me. Send him to me. And God will heal him, the prophet. And he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. I know, you know, prophets are men and women, because they're prophetesses, still today, that God raises up to bring words from the throne of God to his people. It's still happening today. You got to be careful, but it still happens. He said, send him to me. So Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall come again to you, and you shall be clean. Why do we think at times God will do certain things the way we think? Naaman got word, I'm going to the prophet Elijah. He came, he's going with $3 million. He has the money. He's going with his horsemen, his chariots, everything. Can you imagine if we would have seen the parade of all his stuff? Really, it's pride and arrogance. Look what I have. Look what I can buy. There isn't anything in the house of God for sale. Zero. You can't buy healing. You can't buy peace. You can't buy salvation. You can't buy deliverance. Zero in the house of the Lord. It is an amazing thing. God says, tithe, and I'll take care of the church. Better be careful when you watch some things on TV. When they say, send me $1,000 and you'll have everything paid in that year. Don't send it, because it won't happen. Don't do it. Don't do it. Got to follow what the Word says. And the Word says, give to your church where you are fed. Give to your church where you are fed. And then God will bring in what is needed into the house and into your home. Into your home. He went in expecting to buy it. Now, Naaman had this thing. I'm going to walk up to the door of Elijah the prophet. Can you get the picture? And Elijah the prophet, as I knock on the door, he might even see me coming because it's I have so much behind me. He's going to come to the door. He's going to lay his hand on me. He might anoint me with a little oil and pray, and I'm going to be healed. And that's it. All in the mind. Sometimes we think we have everything settled in our minds. We know exactly how God's going to do something, how he's going to solve it, what's going to happen. We're going through a difficult time, and I'm telling you, this thing thinks too much. Thank you. I saw that. Thank you. The door was a little open. And so we think in our minds, we know what's going to happen. But we cannot put God in a box and tell him, this is how you have to do it. Naaman put God in a box and said, this is how he's going to do it. I'm going to walk up. I'm going to knock on the door. I'm going to have my $3 million worth of stuff. And I'm going to give it to him. And he's going to pray over me and heal me. Can't buy it. See, God's mercy and grace upon our lives. He does what he wants to do, how he wants to do it, but it will never deviate, remember, from the Word of God. It won't deviate from the Word of God. And it says that when he knocked on the door, Elisha didn't even come to the door. That he sends a And the servant tells Naaman, go into the Jordan and dip yourself 7 times in the water and you'll be healed. And what did Naaman do? He got mad. Because God didn't do it the way he thought it should be done. See, with God, God treats everybody the same. There's no hierarchy with God. God is the hierarchy. Everybody's the same. God says for us to treat everybody the same. You know, in Scripture, it talks about that when one comes into your place, and if he has a lot of money and wearing a nice suit, and put it today, that you give him the best place in the church or wherever we are. But then you have somebody else walk in that doesn't have any money, basically. His clothes might be torn. He might smell a little bit, you know, just doesn't keep up. And you just tell him, oh, sit way over there, wherever you can find a chair. That's partiality. We should never have partiality in the church at all. Zero. No matter income, color, anything, all those things have been done away with. God does not look at those things. Everybody's the same. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have respect towards an office that somebody holds. Okay? If the mayor would walk in, well, there's certain respect I have towards him because he holds the office of being the mayor of Gaydon. And so, yes, you want to do certain, you know, but yet you can't, you got to show the same respect towards somebody that does not hold that office. We got to, and so Naaman's thinking, well, he sends a servant to me? Naaman loves God. God calls him a great man. But sometimes, even in our greatness, God has to humble us. Huh? Even in our greatness, God has to humble us. And he got so mad that the prophet didn't come tell him what he wanted to hear. That the prophet wouldn't even get out of bed, basically, if you want to say it that way. Stayed in the back room and sent a servant. And he got so mad, he got back in his chariot, and he's going back to his home. We don't realize that, thank God, that he sends people across our path to help us in our journey with him. Thank God that no servant girl was there again. And she said, Naaman, If the prophet would have said something very hard for you to do, you would have done it. But the prophet said, go to the Jordan River and just dip yourself 7 times and you'll be healed. How simple is that? And sometimes we miss out on the blessings of God. Because sometimes we think we have it all figured out. How he's going to do it, when he's going to do it, what's going to happen, how he's going to heal that relationship, how he's going to heal my body, how he's going to do this and how he's going to do that. And let me tell you, God is so infinite in his wisdom that we as human beings can never figure him out. Just look at the word of God. We're still trying to figure it out. That's why it says to study, to show yourself approved unto him. That means read it, read it, read it, read it, read it, read it, to get it in your spirit. So faith can be built up on the inside of us to believe God for the miracle that we need in our hearts and in our lives, whatever it may be. But this little girl, the wisdom that she had, she said, Naaman, and I said it earlier, if he would have asked a hard thing for you to do, you would have done it. But it's something so simple. Something so simple. Most pastors, if somebody came up to their door, or just, I say pastors, because I'm one, you know, pastor. If this man would have came to our door with $3 million, we would have been at that door before he got there. It's sad, huh? With about 10 bottles of oil, 100 people waiting to pray with you. You would have picked up the offering first, $3 million, and then pray with you. That's sad, huh? Then we wonder why the church is the way it's in, the state it's in. It's sad. You know, everything boils down to the love of money. You're the root of all evil. It's not money. Money's a great thing, people. Money's good. It's the love of money. You can look at it in industry. You can look at it in the oil industry. You can look. It's all love of money. Love of money. And that's a heart problem that God has to heal. That's a heart problem that God has to heal. And so she says, go do what he says to do. And it says that he says, okay, thank God. See, God will put people on your path for a reason, to keep us straight with him, to keep us tuned up with him. So we're not diverted to the left or to the right, but that we keep on that right, narrow path of following him, of following the word of God as it's instilled in our hearts and in our lives. That God will raise up men and women to help you. Thank God that little girl was there, that teenage girl. Because he would have went home because there was no one else. It doesn't say now God could have raised up somebody else. But she knew the King of Kings, and she knew the prophet, and she knew what could happen, and she knew that obedience brings the blessing. She knew as he would obey that he would be healed, because you see, she got tired of hearing from his wife the horrors that they would have to go through because of the leprosy that affected her husband's body. Not being accepted in the community and all kinds of other things that went with it. But he decided to go. And he dipped in the river. Can you imagine one time somebody with all his stuff, he probably had a mirror somewhere else. Can you imagine he goes down one time, comes up, and the servant's there with a mirror and he sees no change one time. Goes down again, no change. Looks at himself, no change. Third time again, no change. Fourth time again, no change. Do you think doubt was setting in? Fifth time, no change. He even as Christians, God will tell us things. And we dip one time and we see no change in our own hearts and maybe even what we see on the outside. We dip again and we see no change again. We dip again and we see no change. That you might say, what do you mean by dip again? That means we go to God again. We dip in the presence of the Holy Spirit again and we see no change. And we dip again and we dip again and we dip again. But we don't realize that it's coming. And when Naaman went down the last time and came up, and let's say, the scripture doesn't say there was a miracle, but let's say there was, and he came up, and he looked at himself. Change happens. As we dip ourselves in the presence of the Lord,
when does the marshmallow
change happens?
When does the marshmallow?
And that's what God is looking for.
I don't know if it's just, I think they did it like maybe November.
He's not looking to
but that's
going to
be for the Android.
Or look down family. Upon us or say evil to us.
Redo
He's looking
it.
To change us like, into the image of His Son.
Samsung's going to do their
and
own
as the presence of God,
LG's
you meet with God every
version.
Day.
So
and the
like
Holy Spirit comes and changes something on the inside of our hearts. And all of a sudden, people start to see a change on the outside. You know why? Because there's a change on the inside. The Holy Spirit is working. Because you know what? We serve a living God. A God that changes His people. A God that's trying to mold us and make us into His image. The last time as Naaman got up, he saw himself in that mirror. And man, God, I tell you what, there was revival that happened that day. The entourage that saw what God can do. Their faith rose up on the inside of them. They saw God is God. He is the King. That is the true prophet over there, Elijah. That's a true prophet. That's a true prophet of God. Look what he can do. Look what he can do. Sometimes we get to a place and we're almost on that last dip. We're about to give up. But God says, don't give up. Dip again. Dip in my presence. Let me see what, let me show you what I can do. Because you see, he's trying to build our faith to believe him for the miraculous. To build our faith to believe for the miraculous that he can only do. Praise God. Praise God. His Naaman's heart and Naaman's mind was turned towards him. Was turned towards him. Thinking about what God can you imagine as he went back and people started to see him. But Naaman, there's something different about you. Yeah, let me tell you the story. Let me tell you what the prophet prayed over me. Let me tell you about this little girl, my servant, what she did for me. How she built my faith and she wouldn't let me swerve to the left or to the right. That's what pastors are supposed to do. Keep his people on the straight and narrow path of never looking to the left or to the right, but keeping their eyes upon Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. That's what we're supposed to do, to teach you the word of God, to get the word of God in you so that you will believe God for the impossible for your family, for yourself. That as people start to look at you, they say, my God, they've been with the King of Israel, the God of gods. The King. They've been with him. There's a change on the inside of our hearts and on the inside of our lives because it's affecting the outside of us. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Let God move within you. And always remember, there's nothing too hard that God can do.
Amen.
Now, everything's hard to mankind. Everything's hard. But for God, there's nothing too hard that He can solve, heal, or help in the near of your life and my life. Amen. Keep your faith in Him, in Him alone. Keep your faith in Him, in Him alone. Keep your faith in Him alone. Remember, we're not moved by what we see. We're moved by faith in Him. and let the waters open up to you. Just take one step at a time. Lord, I believe your word. And start quoting that word inside of you. Keep your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. Take another step. And let me tell you, God will open up things to you like you've never seen before. Building your faith to believe. Amen. You may stand, please. Thank you. Praise God. Praise God. Amen, amen. Father, we thank you, Lord God. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. As every head is bowed, just for a minute, I just want to make sure. If you don't know Jesus, and you've never given your heart and life to him, would you please raise your hand that you want to receive him as your Lord and Savior? Just making sure. Maybe you have and you need a rededication of your life unto him. That's fine. Father, Lord, I just thank you for your people. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in their hearts and in their lives, Lord God. And Father, I pray, Lord God, that you would protect them, lead them, and guide them, and be with them this day, Lord. Lord, work in their hearts. Lord, as they open up the word of God every day, that it will just feed their spirit in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, as they pray that you would talk with them and you would commune with them, Lord. Father, I pray that you'd help them on their jobs, Lord God. Be with them. Help them to be the best employees, Lord God, that company has ever had, Father. And Lord God, most of all, keep their hearts right before you. That righteousness would reign in their hearts and in their lives this day. We give you praise and we give you honor and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look this way, people. Jelaine and I, we appreciate you guys. We love you and we thank God for you. And we pray you have a great week this week. God bless you. And you are dismissed. Thank you.